attorney, advocate, author, public speaker. The Lisa Wexler Show. WICC 600. Flip that switch and turn on your brain. Here is Lisa Wexler.
The New York Post, which is my favorite daytime paper. I mean, I love the Times, but I got to read the Post. 203-333-9422 is telling me this. Lululemon is offering up to 50% off on their apparel, which means an $80 pair of sweatpants is now going for $40, which is still a fortune. Who are we kidding? Wayfair is taking up to 60% off furniture and more. J. Crew, which filed for bankruptcy, is taking up to 60% off more. And so I guess what I'm saying is if you're daring to venture to shop, and I was told on a lot of different sites that I look at, that also that Marshalls and TJ Maxx, which is, by the way, the same company, Marshalls and TJ Maxx, that they're also offering a tremendous amount of markdowns. Now, the inventory is old, but on the other hand, it's been a long time since you've seen it. So to you, it's new. To me, it's new. Let's go to Barbara from Shelton. Hello, Barbara. Welcome to the show today. How are you today?
Well, I have been upset for several days, and I need to vent.
Go ahead, vent.
I have issues with Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and so-called white privilege. Let's start with Antifa and Black Lives Matter. And I also, obviously, you probably understand from my accent that I'm white. I'm immigrant to this country. However, I do have black friends and family members.
Barbara, are you Polish, Eastern European?
Yes,
what am I hearing?
Polish. Yes, you are hearing Polish.
Okay.
I
like when I can focus on the accent. I pride myself on accents.
Okay, I am very upset with what is going on and obviously what happened to that young man who died. However, tell me, please, somebody explain to me, where are the Black Lives Matter when it comes to innocent people dying in Chicago for years? I don't see anybody marching. I don't see politicians doing anything about it. I don't see Mr. Al Sharpton marching. They just play lip service to this stuff. And just because you have Democratic politicians in that state or because it's black on black. Black lives matter no matter who takes that life.
I disagree. I totally agree. And actually, it was interesting because the New York Post today, in one of its big headlines, former President Obama aide, I don't know her name, Desiree Barnes. Oh, she worked for First Lady Michelle Obama. I remember that. She lives in New York City, and she just absolutely went off on a video, which unfortunately we can't seem to play right now because of tech issues. But she pleaded for the looters to halt their destruction of New York City. She accused them of, quote, profiting off of our effing pain in a powerful video that surfaced on social media. She's had it. She's really upset. She said, these are people who live in public housing, and you just made a melee. You took down bus routes. There are people who live in this neighborhood. You're preventing them from going to work. You have to be responsible and have a plan. Oh, and she went off. She completely went off on them.
Okay, so she went off. This is Lisa. If you listen to the news year after year after year, this has been going on for years. But it is an uncomfortable topic for politicians, for media who have specific agenda. If this was happening in any other state or a city that maybe was Republican, you would have different outcome. I cannot believe that this is allowed. And all these spokesmen now who are so outraged over the, rightfully so, over the death of this man, should be outraged also over the lives lost in Chicago.
Yeah, so what you're saying, Barbara, is this is what you're saying. You're saying, hey, there's a lot of ineffective policing to actually prevent crime in Chicago. that the black community has to look at its own black-on-black crime and ask, why are there so many causes of this? Why are black people so unfortunately the victim of so much crime in their own communities? I think that you're right. There's no question that those are legitimate questions.
Did you see anybody marching in Chicago on in previous years or months? No, you haven't seen anybody. You haven't heard a boo from black people, from white people. And the other issue I have is with the
But Barbara, I will tell you this. I will tell you this. As sad and despairing and awful as that is, what the society is trying to get past now in America, what we're trying to do is get past this underlying reflexive racism that if a black man is in a white neighborhood, that he automatically must be a criminal.
I totally agree with you.
And Barbara, let's be honest about it. So many of us do jump to that conclusion when we see a strange black man in a white neighborhood. We ask ourselves, well, what are you doing here? And we don't do that if we see a strange white man in a neighborhood.
I experienced that myself. I was a professional before I retired. I have a young black man working for me. He was nice enough one day to drive me to Fairfield, where I had to pick up my car. By the way, he's a minister in a Baptist church. And I picked up my car. It was being serviced, and I was driving to work. I said to him, I'll follow you because I was afraid that he was going to get stopped by a policeman in Fairfield because it has happened to him at another town. And he said to me, it happens to me all the time. They want to know why he's driving a nice car, why he's not wearing his collar because he says he's a reverend. When he's coming home from gym, they want to know why is he isn't wearing his collar. Well, does the policeman always wear a uniform? I mean, this doesn't make sense. So I totally agree with you. Racism is alive and well in our towns, in our cities, everywhere. But we need to, smart people have to put their heads together and somehow do something about this, because this random killing, whether it's black on black, white on black, should not be allowed.
Should not be allowed. I agree with you. And there's no question that if you are saying Black Lives Matter, then your Black Lives Matter no matter who is the perpetrator.
Exactly.
Right.
You just don't pick and choose. And when it's politically expedient to go out there and shout and scream and destroy because a young man got killed by white
people. But I will tell you, but Barbara, let's have a conversation and be honest. Black Lives Matter is in no way taking responsibility for looting. They're not inciting people to loot. They are only, honestly, as a movement, they are right now about peaceful protests. And I just have to keep the conversation separate because it doesn't mean that protests don't occasionally get violent. And they do. But what we're seeing is intentional looting.
They are quite violent.
But intentional looting, that's a whole different class of person. That's not your protester.
Exactly. Yeah. But they are, well, we don't know who these people are.
I think we do.
Maybe the law enforcement knows. We also know who some of those people, who they are that are causing this mayhem. But causing mayhem is not going to solve anything. Now, the other thing that you have to explain to me is the white privilege. I quite don't understand it myself, maybe because I'm immigrant to this country. But Lisa, my parents came with me. They worked two shifts every day for 6 years to save enough money to buy a house. I went to school, worked, and went to school and raised a family. I don't understand where it is that I experienced a white privilege. It was nothing but hard work to get everything that I have or what my parents had. They earned it by hard work, so did I. So I don't understand this white privilege. And I have a solution for these people who feel that they have been privileged in some fashion because they are white. If you got a job because you're white, then say to your boss, give that job to somebody else. Or if you got money from your family and you feel you didn't earn it, your family, maybe your ancestors gifted to you, give it to another family who may use it. But this nonsense, oh, it's white privilege, doesn't make any sense to me because everything I have or my parents have.
Barbara, you still there? I think Barbara
yes, I am.
Okay. So let me just, I'm going to respond a little bit because I think the term white privilege is a very provocative term. And I, when I first heard it, it made me angry. And I come from, you know, my father was first generation immigrant and he slept on a couch growing up because, you know, okay. So, and they came from over the boat through Ellis Island and escaped the pogroms in Eastern Europe. So I also didn't grow up feeling like it was my God given right to be here in America. We felt very much like we were climbing up that ladder step by step, rung by rung. But I think that I have changed a little bit, Barbara. And this is what I think. I think that there is that this is what I think. I think that even though you and I and our families and so many other people work hard, it doesn't take away from how hard we work. That this idea of white privilege simply means, this is how I interpret it, myself, that when we were ready to blend, that there were things that society unconsciously, that we benefited from unconsciously, simply because we are white women that can walk through a crowd and not be detained by police. As simple as that.
True. I totally agree with you.
And I really think that that's all that they're getting at. I think that when I first heard that term, I got so upset about it. I thought it was so provocative and ugly and insulting and demeaning.
Yes,
and
then it is.
But then I stepped back, Barbara, and I thought, let me walk in their shoes. Let me really hear out what this is. And then I realized it's just as simple as that. It's just a little bit of unconscious being able to walk through the universe and not necessarily have to worry like your friend had to worry when he drove you to Fairfield. And it's that kind of quote-unquote privilege that the black community is trying to sensitize us to so that we can then come back to them and say, you know what, you're right. That's a problem. Let's work on it. I think that's
all it is. I totally agree with you that there's racism. I never, the way I feel, maybe because I came from another country and I was not raised that way, so I never had this. I look at people as people. I don't look at them as black, white, or Hispanic, or Chinese, or whatever. I look at them as people.
I hope I'm that way. I hope I'm that way too. I want to be that person. But there is the individual in us that tries to be a good person, and then there are these institutional things that are bred in that if we can be sensitive to, we can improve. Anyway, I'm glad you moved to this country, Barbara, because it sounds to me like you're
too.
A great American.
I was not happy when my parents brought me here, but over the years, after a few years, I changed my opinion, and I think this is the greatest country in the world, and it needs to be saved and defended.
Okay, thank you, Barbara. What a wonderful conversation today. I'm so glad you called to vent and that we could have a real conversation. And I thank you for listening, and I thank you for picking up the phone.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. We'll be right back. More of the Lisa Wexler Show coming right up.